That makes a change, someone else encouraging people to find their seats. So as Carol said, looking forward to talking over the next few months, looking at the whole thing of missional living. I've called it More Than Me. I was reading an article, and I think there's a church in Adelaide in Australia called More Than Me. And I think it sums up our Christian life, our discipleship following Jesus. It's about more than me, it's about more than my family, my children. And there's an outward focus looking to how we live. So we will we'll explore what missional living is and see where we go. Looking forward to doing that. I hope that people will contribute with me during it. I haven't got anyone with me today, but that's what I hope will happen. And we'll have other people talking about missional living as well. So John Clifford and his daughter Jo, in a couple of weeks, are going to be talking about praying for unknown people. So they're thinking about praying for people who are overseas, praying into situations that we see overseas, and how we do that and the ways we can do that. So looking forward to hearing that, and it should be good. So to get things kicked off, I thought it'd be great if maybe you shout out, you know, what for you does it mean to live missionally? And I will see if I can write some things down. Any thoughts?
Be prepared to answer questions.
Answer questions, okay.
Come on, everybody, help him. Not necessarily going with your own preferences.
Okay. Do you want to expand on that a bit?
Sorry?
Do you want to expand on that?
Well, sometimes, for the sake of the gospel, you do things that you either don't like or don't want to do in places you don't want to go to.
Okay, I'll take that. That's... That's good. It isn't always like that, though,
no,
is it?
No, I'm not always going with your own preferences.
It's about priorities. It's about priorities.
Priorities, okay.
Reaching out where God wants you.
Yeah. If I can spell that.
Loving God, loving others.
I like that.
Taking an interest in other people's lives, like how asking on to the grandmother.
Yep.
Doing what you say.
Sorry, doing?
What Jesus would do.
Right. What's...
Doing what Jesus would do.
Yeah.
Andy, did you have something?
No.
Sorry, I was...
Oh, you were heckling again, were you?
Simon, actually.
Heckling Simon. Okay. Anything else?
Serving,
yeah. Waiting? Do you want to say a bit more about that?
Stories about my heart. I think sometimes that the missional living people think you have to always be doing. You start waiting to see what you should be doing rather than just
Yeah, very true.
Praying,
yeah. All good things, that they all do involve missional living in different ways. Mission, missional, missionary, they all come from the Latin missio, which means sending. And so very simply, to live missionally is to see ourselves as sent. And that's what Jesus said at the end of John. He said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." So Jesus actually saw himself as sent, and if you look through John's Gospel, you'll see that, you know, lots of times he's talking about being sent. You know, do we see ourselves as sent by God? Heard a yes there, someone, that's good. I was saying to Sue, you know, as you walk out the front door, do you think, right, I'm sent by God, what have you got for me to do? And Sue said, well, really, it's when you open your eyes in the morning. Very true. What about situations where we're not sure that God's called us to? So, 7-8 years before I started working for Dayspring, I'd actually said to Dave, I really feel God is calling me to work for Dayspring. And during that period, there were times I came home frustrated with my job and said to Sue, I really wish I could start working for Dayspring now. But looking back, I can see that God's timing was perfect. There were things that he was doing in me through working for that job and stuff. And I believe there was a reason why I was there and working in that company to do that. Towards the end of my time there, somebody, one of the factory team leaders came to me. He was team leader of the area where we sprayed the metals before we bonded them to the rubber. And he said, Dave, is there anything you can do? Because the area really smells of solvent. And I've got one of my guys who's carrying on working, but he's got tears coming down his face because the solvent is so strong. And so I went out there and I chatted to the operator who was struggling and had a good sniff as well. And there was a strong smell of solvent. And I actually went and spoke to the process engineers and said, look, you've got to do something. There is, you know, we cannot have people working in conditions like this. What can you do? And within an hour, were down and they'd done something which cleared the air and they started to put things in place, which meant that we shouldn't see it again. And the next day, I went down to the area to check everything was still okay. And I spoke to the operator and I was talking to the team leader. And he said, David, thank you so much for taking notice of that and getting something done. And I said, well, I didn't really do much. I just came down and decided it was a problem and spoke to somebody. He said, you don't know how much difference that made. And so do we see ourselves sent, even in situations, you know, I was in the point of 7-8 years of transition and looking forward to working for Dayspring. Do we see ourselves sent? Do we see ourselves as actually being able to show the love of Jesus and reflect his glory? So Jesus saw himself as sent. What was he sent to do? Well, at the beginning of Luke 4, Jesus was in the synagogue. He stood up. They gave him the scroll of Isaiah. He looked through it until he came to what we know as Isaiah 61. And he read this. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. If you like, that is Jesus' mission statement. That was the reasons why he was sent. He was sent to proclaim freedom for prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. And of course, those things have a physical dimension, don't they? So Jesus healed people who were physically blind. But they also have a spiritual dimension in that Jesus brought those who were blind, those who were in the darkness had seen a great light, brought those who were spiritually blind into a point where they could see God and see his glory and follow him. And the whole thing with the year of the Lord's favor, that alludes back to the year of Jubilee in Leviticus, where once every 50 years, slaves were freed, debts were canceled, ancestral property was returned. And in Isaiah, where Jesus was reading from, it was talking about the liberation of Israel from Babylon. But here, Jesus is talking about the liberation from sin and its consequences. So if you like Jesus is our example. So how did Jesus operate? Thank you, Rosie. How did Jesus operate with it? Well, in John 5, Jesus talks about the fact that, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does it also. That's quite familiar to us, isn't it? Little banner there. Serving what we find God doing in Wiltshire and beyond. So if you think about the story of the wedding at Canaan, Jesus and his disciples and his mother Mary have been invited to a wedding. I don't know, when you go to a wedding or a party or something, do you see yourself as being sent to that? Are you expecting to see God have gone before you and being at work there? Are you open to that? Or do you think it's a time to let your hair down and you're off duty and you can just sit back, relax and enjoy? And of course, they ran out of wine. Mary says to Jesus, they've run out of wine. And Jesus says, why are you telling me that? It's not my time. And, you know, he's basically saying it's not my problem. And yet, two verses later, Jesus is telling the servants to fill the jars with water, and we have this amazing miracle. And the Bible isn't clear what changed Jesus' mind. You know, was there a furious row between Mary and Jesus? And at the end of it, he said, oh, okay, if you tell me so. I very much doubt it. Or, you know, did Jesus see the embarrassment and the dismay on the bridegroom's face and those who were organizing the wedding party and feel compassion for them? Possibly. If you actually look at the passage, basically Mary says to Jesus, they've run out of wine. He says, why are you telling me it's not my time yet? And then she says to the servants, just do as he tells you. And then Jesus asked them to fill the jars with water. And so I wonder if there was something in what Mary said to them or something in how they responded to that, that had Jesus suddenly saying, hang on a minute, my Father is at work here. I'm actually going to do something. I really enjoy organizing cabaret. Soon after I started working for Dayspring, Dave came up with the whole idea, and I thought it was brilliant. And I worked really hard to understand what was in Dave's mind with it. I remember several times I had conversations with him and said, look, I see it looking like this. What do you see? And so that first cabaret, 7 o'clock in the evening, we were all ready to go. And I thought, wow. It's come together. It was just as I'd imagined it. And so we sound checked the act, who was Sid Little, and they were sounding fantastic. Paul had done his magic with the lights. Sorry, lamps, Paul, wasn't it? He'd done his magic with the lamps and the lighting, and everything was perfect. Marin had worked hard on the tables and the decoration, and it was looking fantastic. Oh, wow. Come together, thank you, Lord. And for me, I really enjoy organizing cabaret. I think it's a fantastic event. I think it's great to be somewhere to invite friends and for them to hear stories of faith and have a good night out. One of my frustrations with cabaret is I'm never able to do the organizing and invite my own friends. The times when Sue's invited friends and I've joined them at the table and I've been distracted, I've only been half there, I've had to get up and go and sort something else out. But I don't have a problem with that. I see part of serving is to be able to put on an event like that and allow others who are far better at inviting than I am to bring their friends. Serving is one of my spiritual pathways. And as I looked around at that first event and saw how good it was, I could feel the hairs on the back of my neck standing up. There was an excitement and a euphoria about it. And I was excited by what God was going to do. I don't know if you remember, but initially we were at the Neild Hall and we actually had a proper bar rather than people bringing their own drinks. And the guy who ran the bar, we got on quite well. And for a while when we were at the Neild Hall, he also did the refreshments for us. And it was the first time he did the refreshment, I think. We had John Archer. And John is a comedy magician. And he'd done a funny set at the beginning, during the first half. Had people laughing and things. And I came out to see how we were doing with getting the refreshments ready and being able to serve them. And this guy was just plating stuff up. And he said, "It's amazing, it is. He is so funny, and yet it's all clean. There's no swearing." And I suddenly thought, hang on a minute. God is at work here. Something spoken to this guy. And I realized that, yeah, maybe I couldn't invite my friends to cabaret to enjoy the event. But how I interacted with those who were on the periphery event, who were helping run the event, helping put it on, was my way of reaching people. And I could do things. So do we... do we see ourselves as sent? Do we expect to find God at work wherever we go? And the great thing about it is because we're sent, we're actually chosen. So we're more than just fans or supporters turning up. A few years ago, we were on holiday and Liverpool were playing Arsenal in the Champions League. And after getting the kids to bed, I went downstairs and found a TV in the bar that had the game on. And I was sitting there having a drink, watching the game. And there was somebody else there who was also watching it. Turned out he was actually from Liverpool. He was supporting Liverpool too. And so we were chatting a bit. And then Liverpool won a penalty. And he said, "Oh, great, 1-0, we're going to win this." And I said, "Well, we've got to score the penalty first." He said, "Oh, you're not a proper supporter. Stevie G will score the penalty." And he wasn't wrong. Steven Gerrard put the penalty away. But there is that, isn't it, with fans and supporters. You know, are you a proper fan? Are you a proper supporter? Are you wearing the right scarf? How many times have you watched Liverpool live at Anfield? Have you been to the right gigs? Have you bought the latest albums? But we're actually sent, we're chosen by God. Paul talks about it as the fact that we are ambassadors for Christ. And an ambassador is someone who is chosen to represent the government of a country. And in the days before mass communication, they would be chosen and they'd be commissioned. And they'd be sent out with letters of introduction. And they would travel for days, weeks, months, however long it took to get to the country that they were the ambassador to. And then they would present themselves to the government of that country. And the letters would give them the authority to speak on behalf of the country they were representing. And the country that they were in would know that if they wanted to find out what that country thought or whether that country wanted to work together with them, that their first point of call was the ambassador, and they could talk to the ambassador, and the ambassador would give an opinion on what he thought the response would be. And he'd of course report back to the government and confirm all of that. But they spoke for the country, they represented the country. that they were sent from. And so we are sent by God. We are chosen. We are ambassadors. Wherever we go, we are at work. Oh, sorry, we find that God is at work with us. So how does it work out in practice? So many of you know that Toby has just started playing, since September, has started playing football for one of the local teams. And probably less than a year ago, through synchronized swimming with Sophie, I found myself in a meeting where they got the parents together and they were discussing the whole thing about how we could best support our child and their aspirations in the sport and not be pressurizing parents and all of that. And I commented at the time that because it was synchronized swimming and I knew next to nothing about it, the joke is that the 2012 Olympics I refused to go to watch synchronized swimming because it wasn't a sport. Now I have to watch my daughter. And I really enjoy it, to be fair. But as I said, it's synchronized swimming. I don't know anything about it. It is relatively easy for me to encourage her to listen to where she's finding it difficult and all of that. But with football, anyone who's got a bit of an interest in football will have a view on who should be playing. England, for England, the internationals will think that they could do a better job than the England manager. And so how do I respond as a parent on the sideline? So yesterday, Toby was playing in a match and in a melee on the edge of the area, he plays in goal. The ball got poked past him and it was rolling towards the goal and he turned round and he ran back and he threw himself and he scooped the ball away from the goal and ended up rolling into the net himself. But then the ref blew his whistle and said, that's a goal. And you could tell from the reaction of the linesman that he didn't really think it across the line. And I was really proud of the whole team. Not one of them went to the ref and complained. They just kicked off again, carried on playing. They went on to win the match. And the parents were on the sideline chuntering away about the goal that shouldn't be. And it is interesting, you know, what is my response in those situations? How do you act? You obviously, you know, you want to be right for the kids, but you also want them to learn that it's more than just the sport. And they played really well yesterday. There were a couple of times when they put together a nice flowing movement, series of passes in between them. When I first were watching them at the beginning of the season, a lot of it was down to one or two lads who could pick up the ball and run around the opposition team three times and then stick the ball in the back of the net. Actually seeing them passing and things. And it's the second game where I've seen that and there's been a real change. And so I'm taking the opportunity to say to the guy who's giving up his time to coach him, you know, I've seen real improvements. Well done in what are you doing. And then the last game before Christmas was the same day as Christmas Connection. It was at Derry Hill, which made things easier for me. But it kicked off at 12 o'clock. And so we're standing around and at 5 to 12 and, oh, we're ready to go. And it's all a bit cold and parents are always keen for the game to get on. And I commented I was hoping that it would start on time and that it would finish on time because I needed to get back so I could get back out for a church event that we were putting on. And then this last Wednesday at training, I think it's the first time we've been together since that match, one of the parents, as we chatted about how Christmas was and everything, he said, oh, by the way, how did your church event go? And I said to him, oh, thank you for asking. It went really well. We were really pleased with it. So something is going on there. I feel God is at work. He'll continue to show the love of Jesus to reflect his glory. And look to do that. Another area I'm thinking about is how I respond to show the love of Jesus and reflect his glory to the guys who run the nail bar that's in the same building that we have the church office. Most of the comments I get about that are related to the fact that nail bars can be places where you see trafficking and things. But my prayer for them, they're lovely, it's actually family business, and they work really hard, all of them. The wife who owns it, just before we took on the office, she had a baby. She was only off work 2 days and she was back painting nails. So my prayer for them is that their business succeeds, that God blesses it, that it does well. And recently, because we're in the building, what used to be a bank, I think, and so it used to be all together. The electricity supply is single electricity supply for the whole building. And so because their English isn't so good, I've been helping them to find a new electricity supplier and to try and reduce the bills. And a couple of months ago, they rang me and said, oh, the fire alarm's faulty and gone off. Can you help? So I got involved in finding somebody who could service the fire alarm, which hadn't been serviced since before we started hiring the office and ought to be serviced regularly for good health and safety reasons. So again, working with them, looking to help them where I can, looking to show the love of Jesus, want their business to do well. I'm encouraging my Sophie to actually, because she loves getting her nails done, to actually go and use them and get them done there. So there is lots we can do to show the love of Jesus, to reflect his glory. Do we see ourselves as being sent? Do we expect to find God at work having gone before us? And are we going to be those ambassadors who actually looks to respond? And are we open to the promptings of the Spirit so that when we see God at work, we know how to respond and what to do? And sometimes, you know, Carol was talking earlier about the fact we're called to proclaim the message, and we are. But sometimes you've got to build the relationship, you've got to show the love of Jesus, you've got to develop that before you're in a position where you can actually speak to them and tell them. So, that was a lot of what I said. I think it'd be really good. Do you want to maybe get into groups of threes or fours? Are there places where you feel God is sending you and you want prayer and things in that? Are there stories where you've seen God at work that you can encourage others with? So maybe chat for five minutes on what I've been saying. Share what the good stuff. Ask for prayer for places where you'd like to see God at work and doing things. And then spend, after 5 minutes, maybe spend a short time just praying for each other and doing that. Go.